The curtains are drawn. The lights are off. We've entered the spook zone.
Not just the spook zone. This is the first time that we are almost recording in real time.
That is true, actually, yeah.
Today's the first of... Odin's just hidden himself in the curtains. What are you doing?
Get out of here.
Yeah, this is the 1st of June. It's Tuesday. And this episode will be going up on Friday.
Yeah, it
this will. Friday.
You are... Are we... I don't know.
Odin's just walking through all of the cables. Get out!
Anywhere else, bud. Anywhere
all the cable else. Microphones, all of the laptop microphones. He just walked through all of them like they were hanging vines.
You are not an intrepid explorer.
Yeah, so you're going to be listening to this just a few days after we've recorded it. This hasn't happened so far.
Nope. Sorry, I'm just creaking my chair, getting comfortable.
Featuring Kieran's squeaky chair. Odin's panting. He's about to walk through all of the cables again, so we might have to put him to bed. Get out of here!
Yeah, it's probably a good chair. I'll just put him to bed just now. Hey, man. BRB, everyone. It's quite a good sound effect, that. Oh, I'm talking about closes.
That's like classic haunted house creaky door.
Isn't it? That's where we say, guys, we're sitting in our seats. We didn't do that.
Kieran definitely didn't just come in the room.
Nope.
So how are you?
Very well. I didn't make the mistake of just having an oaty biscuit, so I might start coughing partway through this. But it's only from the oaty biscuit and not from COVID.
No, we've been pretty lucky so far.
Yes.
On the panoramic front, we're fine.
Yeah.
Haven't had COVID. Don't think, anyway.
No, haven't known anyone to be severely affected by it.
Adam has it. Had it.
Did he?
Yeah, like a few days ago.
I forgot.
Didn't tell. He seems okay. He just had a really high fever.
BT Dubs, my cousin has COVID.
I'm sorry. I forgot to say.
Well, never mind.
Granny told Georgie, who told me.
You were just like, sweet.
Well,
me beside you.
You were gone. You weren't there. So it fell out of my head. So you're fine.
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a bit worried about keeping up with the week-on-week schedule now that we've caught up to ourselves. Because we'd pre-recorded 6 or 7 episodes, and now we're on episode 8. Very near the end of the season, though, which is scary in itself.
3 to go. We hope you're enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are, if you could review us on podcast players and stuff, that's a big help if you're on Apple Podcasts.
It's so helpful. It's more helpful than people realise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free. It's a free way to support the podcast.
Just
support us generally.
Bang 5 stars if you liked it.
Yeah. And tell us what you liked, if you enjoyed it. Or tell us what we could do better. That's fine too.
I don't want to hear it.
I do. I'll read it. I'll take it on board. We heard from someone that I pronounced Brecken wrong. I think I pronounced it as Brecken in the episode.
Yes.
I can't remember. I think it was the Glams episode. Talked about Brecken. Brecken.
I can't remember.
Breechen?
Breeches.
Bitches?
Batches? But that was helpful feedback.
No, it doesn't seem that way. Because we're now making a joke out of it, but it was really helpful, I swear.
Apparently I'm a hoot. That was enjoyable feedback.
Yes, Kieran was informed that he is a hoot. If you have compliments for Kieran, that's something he would definitely want to hear.
Oh, I definitely want to hear those.
Like, I'll take the flack and all the constructive criticism, but you will happily accept compliments.
Yes, they are most welcome over here. If you think I'm a delight, because I know I do, please tell me.
Kieran has his own Instagram too. You could tell him over there.
I do, and sometimes I post on it.
Mm-hmm. He'll post more if you call him a hoot.
That is true.
You'll do it for the people.
So. Oh, we didn't say it. We didn't say the thing.
The thing?
The thing.
Do you want to say the thing?
Oh, I don't know. It's a lot of pressure.
Do you want to take the mantle? You're under a lot of pressure.
Sure, I have to just sit here, listen, enjoy a nice story. I hit record. That's me done until we're finished. Welcome to the Generally Spooky Podcast.
I'm really glad that nobody sits in here with us while we record, because any facade that we've been able to build of being professional would immediately be wiped clean. Immediately.
Through the looking glass, realise the truth.
Yep.
Wait a second, that's just a couple of goobers sitting there.
Yeah, they're just morons. Why are morons allowed to do this? That shouldn't be a thing.
Well, fellow moron, what do you have in store for me this week?
Well, last week we had our first proper ghost story. We were talking about the Black Lady of Lark Hall.
We did.
You remember?
Many spooks.
Have you recovered?
I have. I'm once again sleeping at night.
Because Kieran, he was actually freaked out by the end of that. We weren't having nightmares, but we got to the end of the story and...
Yeah, it was pretty spooky.
We were pretty creepy, pretty creeped out.
It was all oogly.
Mm-hmm. So that was a first for the podcast.
That was.
And this week is also a first for the podcast.
Ooh, are you going to give the whole podcast upside down? That'd be a first.
No.
Oh.
You're also not giving the story. I'm not just springing that on you. Actually, this week, Kieran, you have to tell the story completely unprepared.
I would like to tell the story of the life and times of Kieran McRae.
Solid subject matter.
Yeah, I know it somewhat well.
You remember some things.
There's large patchy areas. Just because of my stupid brain.
No, this week's different because we're going to be talking about Selkies.
Ooh.
Which is a bit of a departure from the norm because Selkies are mythological creatures rather than a specific historical event.
They are. Oh, exciting.
So a bit different.
A bit different.
Do you know much about Selkies?
I know what they are, but I don't know, I've not heard any stories about them, per se. Actually, I've heard a couple of different things of what they are.
Because I would be really interested to hear your stories. Because, like, it's Scottish folklore. And because it's the way with folklore and stories that get passed down, that just through the telling, they don't necessarily always get written down. So as they travel, they change. And you find that you're going to get experts who can explain this much better than I can. But as you get to different areas, the versions change slightly. And everyone has their own slightly changed version, which started as the same thing, if that makes sense.
That does make sense. I just realised in my head, I think I was mixing up Selkies and Kelpies.
Okay.
Selkies are the shapeshifters who turn from seals into people. No, actually, they take off their skin and then they're people and they walk amongst us. And then they find victims and drag them into the sea and put their seal skin back on.
Ah. See what you've done there? You've mashed Selkies and Kelpies together.
Oh, because I thought Kelpies were the horses.
Mm-hmm.
The water horses. Because there's the Kelpies in Stirling? No.
Falkirk. By the Falkirk Wheel.
That's a big statue thing in Scotland that some people have heard of. It's very cool.
They are. They look incredible. We should include a picture somewhere because
yes,
they're pretty amazing.
In the show notes.
Well, no, you've mashed Selkie and Kelpie legends together.
Interesting.
So, you know, at least you're going to learn something. But I felt like I couldn't let a whole season of the podcast go past without talking about some kind of myth or folklore at some point.
Mm.
It would just feel wrong.
I think so.
That's what we're doing. But like I said, this is a myth. Selkies are mythological creatures, and across different parts of Scotland and different parts of the world. This isn't just a Scottish thing, which I didn't know.
Hmm.
Each place has their own version. So no version is right, no version is wrong. I might not be able to talk about the specifics of every single place, because they do vary. So I just want to put that out there, that this will probably be incomplete, because I can't talk about the nuances of every single place. That would be a podcast on its own, I guess.
That'd be a whole book, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But we'll begin.
Ooh.
The word Selkie actually comes from a dialect that you find in Orkney.
Okay.
From the Orkney Islands. So if you're not familiar with Scottish geography, which you might not be, the Orkney Islands are a group of islands way, way up in the far north. You have the Orkney Islands, and then the Shetland Islands are even further north than that. So that's where the word kind of comes from. And it just means seal. So arguably, like, every seal that you see could be called a Selkie, because that's just what the word means. And I thought this would be a fun story to talk about with you, because you interacted with seals a lot when you were growing up.
I did.
Because you spent so much time in the water. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you want to talk a bit about what just seals are like, or any stories that you have about seals.
Sure. There's Sammy the seal in Ullapool, who's the big seal who comes back every year and pops his head up around the pier. He was always fun. He was always there through my childhood in Ullapool, where I grew up. And I got to swim with the wild seals, which was fun, but it's not how it sounds, because they were wild, so they were terrified of me. But that was quite fun. I was sailing with my dad. We were out at one of the little islands in the Summer Islands, and I liked being in the water, so I put my wetsuit on and jumped in. And there's all these seals just floating about and sunbathing on the rocks and stuff.
There's the oats.
There's the oats. So that was pretty cool.
So what's your experience with seals as animals? What are they like for people who might not know?
Grey, big, fat, lazy, sunbathe on the rocks, flop about in their bellies to go swimming. Oh, they try and eat your fish when you're fishing, because they're bastards. That's very specific to me.
Yeah. Kieran had a past experience where that may or may not have happened.
Multiple times. Bastards. Yeah, quite gentle. They just eat other small fish, I think. They sleep in the water with their noses up, which is quite funny. I remember being down the front, looking at the water, being like, oh, is that like a buoy that's come away and just flowing through the water? But no, it's just a little seal face with its nose pointing straight in the air.
It looks really strange.
And it drifted, like, into the pier.
While asleep.
Yeah. That's my story on seals.
I've always thought they look quite like dogs.
Oh, yeah.
In the face.
Mm-hmm. They've got whiskers.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's, like, partly to do with the eyes. Because they've got these big brown eyes, and Odin has big brown eyes.
That's true, actually, yeah.
Similar sort of shaped nose. I've always thought that.
A big snout. Sharper teeth, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, we're bearing all that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Selkies are creatures from legend and myth who can transform themselves from seals into people by taking off or shedding their seal skin.
Mm.
So you were right. That is what Selkies do. Before they transform, they just look like seals, but they're bigger than normal seals. And they're different from other legendary supernatural creatures like werewolves. You know, the transformation is different. They just step out of their skin. They're different to mermaids, because the mermaids are half people, half fish.
Mm.
Whereas with a Selkie, they just step out of their seal skin and they take on the appearance of being fully human. So they're unique. They're unique in that sense.
That's interesting, because Sammy the seal was the biggest seal.
Mm.
Maybe he was a Selkie.
Interesting.
Or she, how do you even tell?
Also probably interesting size. If he comes back like once a year.
Mm-hmm.
That will feature later. So they're different to mermaids, merpeople, because they completely transform from seal to person.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that they do seem to have in common with the legends of mermaids.
What about marmalade?
I'd like to apologise for my husband. I don't control what he does. He lives his life. But I'll apologise anyway.
You smiled though. You had to try not to laugh though.
They'll never know. Who's gonna know? One thing that they seem to have in common with the legends of mermaids is that Selkies, both male and female, are supposedly extremely attractive.
Mm.
They will raise a few eyebrows from everyone who sees them.
As seals or as people?
As people.
Okay.
I mean, seals are cute, but, you know.
They don't raise an eyebrow?
No.
Unless one appears behind you.
And eats your fish. But what makes Selkies truly different from other myths and legends that I've heard about and know about is that they're known most for being really gentle creatures.
Oh.
So Selkies are supposedly very gentle, very caring, very loving, compared to other mythical monsters you might hear about where the beast is determined to wreak havoc or have vengeance on humans. But that's not the case with these stories. Selkies, what marks them out is their capacity for love and their generosity.
Oh, that's a lot of the time.
It is, isn't it?
But they don't have pockets to keep their gold.
Their gold?
If they're being generous.
Oh. Like I said before, there's lots of different versions of the Selkie stories. So there's lots of different versions of how and when a Selkie can come to shore and actually become a human.
Mm.
So I've got some of these different versions to talk about. Some stories say that they can only shed their seal skin on Midsummer's Eve.
Ooh.
Which, if you're curious, is only a few weeks away.
Is that the longest day?
Yep. Midsummer's Eve is on June 24th this year.
Ooh.
So if you like the sound of these stories, we could drive to Nairn Beach.
That'd be pretty fun.
And try and spot one. Or go up to Ullapool.
Mm-hmm.
Go see Sammy. Other stories say that the Selkies could transform into people once every 9 nights.
Oh.
Or during the time of the 7th stream. Now, I'd never heard of that term.
Me neither.
I didn't know what it meant. From what I was able to find, the 7th stream is when there are 9 days in a row of high tide. So the tides are especially high for those 9 days.
Interesting.
But I could be completely wrong on that. I'm not 100% sure.
Not sure.
Something maybe ask your dad about. Maybe he's heard it. I don't know.
Maybe. That's weird. I was wondering why 9 and not 7 is the usual, like, mythical number. But I suppose the 28-day moon cycle divides by 9. No, it doesn't.
No.
No, never mind. Got that completely wrong. I wonder why 9.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But yeah, I'd never heard of the term 7th stream before. There's a movie that I saw a Rotten Tomatoes review for called The 7th Stream, which is about Selkies. And it has, I think it's Ian Glen from Game of Thrones. I think he's in it.
Oh, cool.
It's set in Ireland. And he's the lead, but I didn't even see any pictures. I just saw the Rotten Tomatoes review, just kind of went, oh, no.
What was his rating on Rotten Tomatoes, did you see?
58%.
Hmm.
I think.
It's all right. Medium.
Yeah. She knows. So after coming onto land and transforming and becoming human, some of the stories say that Selkies can't return to land for 7 years once they go back into the water. So they can't just be on land whenever they choose to be.
Interesting.
And there's a few reasons that a Selkie might choose to come to shore in the first place. And it changes a bit depending on whether the Selkie in the story is a man, or the Selkie in the story is a woman.
Hmm.
Generally, the stories follow a pattern that is different. So female Selkies enjoy dancing on the sand and sunbathing on rocks, which, you know, I've seen seals do. Like, mm-hmm. They like to soak up some rays. And sometimes Selkies even help people who get into trouble in the water, which I'll get into a little bit more later. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, once a Selkie shed their skin, they're completely naked. So in the stories, female Selkies are just lounging on the beach or dancing around in the water completely naked.
That's what went in my head as well. Like, yep, dancing in a ring naked at a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Classic.
But what I thought was interesting, male Selkies don't just come to shore to have a little dance and top up the tan. If a male Selkie comes on land, they're looking for smooching.
Ooh.
Scandalous.
Smooching.
I know.
Cover and Hob style.
So Selkie men were known for their amorous encounters with human women. That's how all the stories with male Selkies go. Apparently they were irresistible and had, like, seductive powers over human women. And when they came to shore, they were actively seeking out women who were unhappy and unsatisfied in their relationship. Genuinely, I'm not making this up. But I will say here, what annoys me about these stories being so old and passed down
mm-hmm.
is that they only account for straight relationships. So there aren't any traditional stories of a female Selkie heading into town to find a fine woman to spend the evening with.
Hmm.
Only the male Selkies get to do that. So they are old, and I see why that happens, but it is annoying. I don't like having an episode where that's the only story,
mm.
because it's not true. But because these are old stories, these are the only ones that are told.
That is how they were.
Which means there's plenty of room for like Selkie fiction with non-binary characters,
mm-hmm.
trans characters, you know, any relationship that isn't between a straight man and a straight woman.
Kind of yaoi Selkie stories on the go.
Yaoi. So in some cases, like in some stories, the human women who weren't happy with their husbands, so whether the husband was just gone all the time because they worked on fishing boats, or they just weren't very nice, the woman would go down to the sea and she would summon a Selkie man to be with, which she could do by shedding 7 tears into the ocean at high tide. And she would summon the Selkie man, and in all the stories, Selkie men are very affectionate and are there to respond to desire, are really caring, are just very attractive and handsome, great lovers.
Much like myself, across the board.
So, you know, everyone wins.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not the poor fisherman who's out busting ass.
No, he doesn't win.
No.
But it's interesting because the stories about Selkie men, they're all kind of about responding to desire and attraction. But the stories of Selkie women are pretty much the exact opposite. So it happens over and over again in these stories, which, again, I'll get into. I've got a couple of stories to tell. Mm. Selkie women are just enjoying themselves, having a good time with their friends, and they're spotted by a human man. And remember, Selkies are very attractive. So man sees Selkie woman and falls madly in love with her. How do you think he goes about trying to be with her or to get to know her a little bit better?
Does he just run over and then she runs into the sea and then he just dives in after her and drowns?
You're not that wrong.
Hmm.
He bypasses everything decent and normal and steals her seal skin so she can't go back in the water. And then she can't return to her seal form, and then usually forces her to become his wife.
I've heard that story before.
It's very common. Yeah. All over Selkie folklore, this story happens again and again and again.
Yeah. I think I read that in like a book of myths or something.
You probably did. I'm going to get into that story in more detail.
Mm.
And it will probably sound very familiar if you went to primary school in Scotland.
Mm.
There's like a version of
the heist.
There's a version of this that's told to kids, but the ending is slightly changed.
Mm.
But we'll get into that.
We'll get there.
But that's generally how the story goes. But it's just very unfair and not very nice. And yeah, human men don't come off well in either type of story, generally. Because they're either abductors pushing magical creatures into a forced marriage, or they're unsatisfactory lovers and husbands. So there's not really a good option there.
No.
I mean, one's definitely better than the other, I guess.
Well, yes.
But, you know, you don't come off well.
You don't want to be either of those people. You don't want to have that big dick energy or that wee dick energy.
No. You just want to be, like, normal, nice, respectful, you know? I read, just further on this topic, I read about an author. I don't know if I talked to you about this when I was doing my research, actually. I'm not going to mention her name because I'm not going to be very complimentary and I don't want to just, like,
shit all over
her. Yeah, like, that's not nice. But she wrote a book about that includes Selkies.
Mm-hmm.
And she's included a lot from the human man's perspective. And this man has done exactly what I described, like
mm-hmm.
stolen the skin and forced her to become his wife and everything. And she was saying in an interview that she wanted specifically to write from the human man's perspective because she felt like men's perspective in stories isn't explored enough. And I have to disagree, because I don't think that the male straight perspective is underrepresented at all.
I mean, that's a bit of a reach.
I just don't agree. I don't agree. And, like, her main character, she gives him this kind of redemption arc, because even though he stole the Selkie skin, forced her to marry him and have children with him, he, like, genuinely falls in love with her.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
That makes it okay that he did all these things, because he loves her.
Yeah.
And I just disagree.
If you do it for love, you're totally allowed to break the law.
I disagree. I didn't understand where she was coming from.
No.
But I don't want to just shit all over anybody, so I'm not going to name names or anything. I just thought it was a weird comment to make.
Yeah, that's a strange one. I've not heard that one before.
No.
Not from a woman, anyway.
No.
Hmm.
Like, she's from down in England. So I don't know. Anyway. Generally, any story that you hear about a Selkie is a love story. And generally a sad one. But not all of them are. Some of them are just about, like, having a respectful relationship with these creatures as someone who lives by the sea. And I'm going to tell you a couple of these stories, if that's okay.
Love to hear them.
I'm going to tell you the stories, I think, and then we can get into, you know, a bit of a chat about the origins and the meanings behind them afterwards. Because this isn't based in historical events and dates. So I felt like we could have just more of a chat.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
But we've got the curtains drawn. And it's coming up on 10 p.m, so if this is too much like a bedtime story, I might just fall asleep.
If Kieran falls asleep, I'm going to run the podcast solo, and I'm just gonna blast him.
I'm a pretty light sleeper. I'll probably wake up again.
No, you won't. I'll make sure of it.
The story will be that good.
So I said earlier that a lot of the Selkie lore comes from Orkney.
Mm-hmm.
Other places too, but I've looked a lot into the stories that came out of Orkney. There was a man called Walter Traill Dennison, who was a folklorist from Orkney, and he preserved a lot of the stories and legends that came from Orkney. He tried to save them all, and a lot of them he's written in the original Orcadian dialects.
Well, that's cool.
Which, it's somewhat similar to Scots, but I'm definitely not saying they're the same, because I know how special unique dialects are. But just, if you've never seen it before, it reads similarly to Scots.
Interesting.
So a lot of the stories that I've found and I'm going to tell you, you can find in their Orcadian original form. I'm just not going to tell them in that dialect, because I will completely butcher it.
I won't know what you're saying, so.
And it'll detract from the story itself. I would sooner tell the story. And we can put things in show notes and stuff if you want to see the Orcadian proper version. But I didn't want to ruin the story and the dialect in one fell swoop.
Do any of these stories take place in Twat?
Twat?
Yeah, it's a town in Orkney, I'm pretty sure. With three D's.
Really?
I'm pretty sure.
I thought it was down south somewhere. No?
No, I think it's Orkney.
You're going to have to fact check that. Otherwise, you're going to piss some people off.
Oh, yeah, piss everybody off, whether they're from Twat or not.
I was going to say, you can't piss off the people from Twat.
Not to be confused with the Roald Dahl book. Yep, Twat, Orkney.
There
a small settlement in the parish of Bearsay, on the mainland of the Orkney Islands.
I beg your pardon. I did not know that was on Orkney, because I've seen the signs before.
Yep.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Prove me wrong.
That never happens.
It's you a give little me. Nugget of knowledge to have.
I know my twats.
Oh my god, what is this podcast?
It's run by a pair of prats.
Okay. The first story I'm going to tell you is the Goodman Wastness. It's of Wastness. But it's Oh, Wastness.
Oh.
This is why I'm not saying the whole thing in Orcadian dialect. I'm not doing it. I've taken a little bit of artistic license to make the story fun to listen to. I hope that's okay.
That's the point of
the story. The story is still the same. Mm-hmm. I've just made it entertaining.
Yeah. I've always wondered how, like, reading Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology, and I read Stephen Fry's Troy, how they retell the story without just reading other people's stories and retelling them. This must be a little bit like that.
A little bit. Definitely not as good. Because Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology is incredible.
It is incredible. Troy was also really good.
I haven't read that, so I'm not going to speak to that. But Neil Gaiman's Norse mythology is fantastic.
Yeah. But they must have... More for Neil Gaiman's one, since there'll be... The Norse mythology is less well documented, I think. Possibly. But yeah, just kind of make it up yourself, but you're not making it up because it's a known story.
They've likely used a lot more references and sources than I have. Just putting that out there. Don't set your hopes that high, because...
I've hyped it now.
I know. Why did you do that?
Banter.
Okay, shut up. The Goodman was a respectable, attractive man in Orkney. And he had a farm that made him a good amount of money. He was well-liked, and he had a lot going for him. But romance wasn't very high on his agenda. He had other things in his life, like his work and his home, that took up most of his time, and he didn't really have any interest in finding a partner. It happens. Naturally, a man like the Goodman, and that's how he's referred to through the story, I don't have a name, he was a real catch for whoever would eventually land him, because... He had this farm, he had lots of like comfortable money, he was a good guy, he was an attractive guy. So women were falling over themselves to try and catch his attention and become his wife. So that they could be Mrs. the Goodman. But he didn't really respond to any advances that were made his way, which made a lot of women very upset and very angry, because they didn't see why they had been rejected. They were perfectly good, you know, candidates for wifehood, and it didn't make sense to them. When people asked him why he hadn't gotten married, which, let's just pause for a second, why is that still an acceptable thing to ask someone, by the way?
Yeah.
When are you getting married? Why aren't you married? That and when are you having children? Why aren't you having children? Like, they're possibly the most rude things you can ask someone.
Still happens, though.
Yeah. All the time.
So often.
All the time. We had that for ages, but when we got married young.
Yeah.
But I still remember getting asked, you know, when are you getting engaged? When are you getting married?
I remember my granny asking, like, oh, so any grandkids? When we were, like, 16. I'm like,
great grandkids.
Oh, yeah, sorry. So, what am I expecting great grandkids? I'm like, well, I'm 16 grand, so not for a while.
Oh. That was a hard day.
That was kind of a lot, wasn't it?
If you don't know us personally, Kieran and I have been together since we were 15.
Yeah.
We met in school.
We did.
We've been together for nearly 12 years. No. It has been 12 years.
No idea.
We got together in 2009, I think.
We?
12 years?
Yeah.
Anyway, if you didn't know for the context. But yeah, I just think it's a really rude thing to ask someone.
Bizarre.
So don't do that. I mean, if you're listening to this, you probably don't, but don't do that.
Yeah.
Anyway, lots of people were asking why he hadn't gotten married. And, you know, they were pretty, not cruel about it, but they were pushing him as if, you know, how dare he not be married? He's a great candidate for marriage. He would, you know, father a huge family. He has the means. And he would reply with something that was along the lines of, women cause nothing but trouble.
Or, that is true.
I simply don't have the time to put up with a woman. And the just cherry on the cake. Adam would have gotten along a hell of a lot better if Eve hadn't gotten them both chucked out of Eden. And I'm paraphrasing a little, but the gist is the same. So, rude.
That is rude.
But, you know, people were being rude to him, so...
Well, I mean...
Nobody's in the right there.
Ask a stupid question, get a stupid answer.
Yeah. And he would say this to everyone who asked him about marriage, because he was just fed up. until eventually he was overheard by an older woman who lived in the village nearby, and the woman gave the goodman a warning. And she told him that he should heed his own warning well, since one day he might find himself just as bewitched as Adam.
Ooh.
So the goodman continued going about his business. He was happy. He was doing fine. Had no interest in finding anyone, needing anyone. And one day he was down near the shore of the island, when in the distance, he, like further along the beach, he could see seals lying on the sand. But as he got slowly closer, he saw that these weren't seals at all.
Huh.
These were selkies. They looked really happy. Some of them were enjoying the warmth of the sun on their skin. Others jumped around in the water. And he watched them quietly for a good while, just marvelling at how beautiful they all were and how content and peaceful they seemed. But that was when he noticed all of their enchanted seal skins just strewn about the beach, around where they lay and where they were playing in the water. And they looked really glossy in the sun. They were beautiful in their own way. And none of the Selkies seemed to be paying attention to their precious seal skins.
Mm.
The goodman got an idea. He crept closer and closer to where the Selkies lay, trying to stay as quiet as he possibly could. The closer he got without being spotted, the more likely it was that the plan he had developed in his head was going to work. He crept between rocks, he crawled on the ground until there was no more cover, and he crouched behind this last large rock between him and the Selkies. It was now or never. The goodman took a deep breath and bolted as fast as he could towards where the Selkies were. And the Selkies spotted him as soon as he stood up and screamed in horror, all the fun, all the play gone. They scrambled around the sand, they were grabbing their precious seal skins and running with them to the safety of the sea, because they could see what the goodman hoped to do.
Mm.
They bobbed in the water, putting the seal skins back on and all returning to their seal form and to safety. All except one. As the water lapped over the Selkie woman's skin, she realised when she went to put her skin back on, her hands were empty. She didn't have her seal skin. She had run into the water too quickly and had forgotten to pick it up.
Oh no.
Her heart begins pounding and she looks back at the shore and sees the goodman pull her glossy, beautiful seal skin from the ground and size it up just with awe. He has it in his hands. The Selkie woman throws her head back and lets out this horrendous wailing sound. And the goodman looks up from the sealskin out to the water, and he watches all the Selkies disappear one by one as their heads turn into seal heads and the big brown eyes vanish under the waves until there's only one left. And the wailing continues.
Mm-hmm.
He grins at the woman out in the water, tucks the sealskin under his arm, and was pleased as punch because he had managed exactly what he had tried to do. He had a Selkie skin. A magical, beautiful, wonderful Selkie skin. So he begins walking quickly back to his farm, just happy that the plan worked. He can't believe how lucky he's been. But as he reaches the end of the beach, he hears this wailing, this horrendous, horrendous wailing getting louder and louder. And he turns and sees a beautiful woman following him up the beach. But she's sobbing so hard she can barely breathe. She was completely naked, but she was holding out her arms to him, shaking with sorrow. And she was begging him to give her the sealskin back. She was howling, crying, and she explained to the goodman that if he kept the skin, she would be effectively sentenced to a life on land.
Ooh.
She'd be completely separated from her family, from her people. She would never be able to return to the sea if she didn't have this sealskin. It would just be the worst kind of punishment that she didn't deserve.
Mm.
So the goodman heard what she was saying and for the first time ever felt a little stirring in his heart. He wasn't a bad man. He felt sorry for the pain that he'd caused this woman, this Selkie woman. But he could also see how beautiful she was.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time, he felt like he had met someone who he could love and settle down with, because she was beautiful. So the Goodman didn't return her skin. Instead, he asked the Selkie to become his wife.
Well, that's the same.
Yeah, you know, that's just as nice.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, actually, yeah, I'm not sad anymore. Sure.
He promised that he would take care of her. He said he could provide for her. They could have a family together. He could really love her. And the Selkie could see no way to get her sealskin back. He said that he wouldn't. Without it, she would be all alone in the world. In a foreign world, with mm-hmm. no family. So she became the Goodman's wife. Like all the stories about Selkie women, she proved to be a good wife.
Hmm.
So in a lot of these stories, the Selkie wives are often, they're described as being thrifty and good about the house and caring and affectionate. So she was all of these things. And over time, she seemed to genuinely care about the Goodman rather than being forced to be with him. They were kind to each other and even seemed to grow to genuinely love each other. They had 7 children together, 4 sons and 3 daughters, and they had a happy home.
Hmm.
The other people who lived in the island couldn't help noticing how beautiful she was. She turned heads everywhere.
Be all the blubber.
And they also commented on how beautiful their children were. So they're just stunning family. Mm-hmm. Everybody knew it. They had no rival. And everyone was impressed at how content and strong their marriage seemed to be.
Hmm.
But the Selkie knew that she would never be completely happy again. Her heart just ached for the sea and for the life that had been stolen away from her. As the children grew up, the Goodman had his sons help out around the farm, because remember he had a farm, and help with providing the family, you know, when they were old enough to do so.
Mm-hmm.
The weather was especially good one day, so the Goodman took his sons out fishing with him, and they would be gone all day. So the Selkie sent 2 of her daughters down to the shore to gather shellfish, limpets, whelks, that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
Which they did fairly often, to have when their father and their brothers came home that night. The youngest daughter, remember I said she had 3 daughters,
mm-hmm.
had badly hurt her ankle the last time they went down to the shore, climbing on rocks that ended up being really sharp. So she had to stay at home with her mother that day. And she was kind of stuck to her bed or chair. She couldn't walk properly. And she didn't usually stay at home with her mother. So the more time she spent with her, she wasn't used to how strange her mother acted when no one else was at home. Almost as soon as they had the house to themselves, her mother began searching through every cupboard, every shelf. She disappeared under beds. She leant far behind cupboards. The little girl thought she'd lost her mind. She had no idea what she was doing. So she's watching her mum and she's going, "What on earth are you looking for?" Just completely confused. And her mother seemed conflicted about answering her question.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually she sat down beside her on her bed and said, "Well, darling, I'm looking for a special skin. And it's in the house somewhere. It's very special. And I can use it to make you a new pair of shoes. And if you wear these shoes, they're going to make your ankle all better. But you can't tell your father that I'm looking for it because it'll upset him."
Mm.
So the little girl listens and then lets out this big sigh of frustration. And she says, "Well, you should have just asked me, because I know the skin you're talking about. I've seen it." So she sees her mother sit up a little straighter, and her big brown eyes get a little bit wider. And, you know, the little girl was pleased, because it's a very grown-up thing to know something that your mum doesn't. So her mother's, you know, listening intently, going, "Really? Really, darling? Will you tell me where it is?" And the little girl nods, smiling, mm-hmm. quite happy to help her mum out. She's all like, "Of course. I saw it yesterday when you took everyone down to the market. Father thought I'd fallen asleep. And, you know, he had waited there to look after her because she couldn't walk.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard him rustling around and he woke me up. So I had a peek, just a little bit. And I saw him standing on a chair just over there by your bed. and he pulled the skin down from the rafters and he just looked at it for a little while. And he seemed a bit upset about it. He looked quite angry, so I know why you don't want me to tell him that you're looking for it, because I don't think he likes it very much. But it's just up there. And the little girl points up to the big wooden beams that made up the roof of the house. So before she could even begin thinking or explaining what she wanted her shoes to look like, her mother rushes to grab a chair and reaches up to where the skin was hidden and pulls it down. And although it was dusty, it had been there for a long time, the seal skin still seemed to be glowing and shining. And her mother laughed and she was clapping with joy, and the little girl didn't really understand, but she was pleased she could help. And she watched her mother sling the skin over her arm, and then she came back over to the bed. And all she says is, "Farewell, little one." And then she runs out of the house. The Selkie sprinted from the farmhouse down to the shore, to the sea. And she puts on the seal skin after such a long time, and then she plunges under the waves, completely out of sight. The goodman and his sons were rowing home after their day of fishing, but movement in the water near them caught the goodman's eye. So he turns and he sees two large seals swimming around in the water with each other, leaping out of the water, looking incredibly happy and playful. And his heart completely sank. The two seals came a little bit closer to the boat, but definitely not close enough to reach. And the Selkie woman revealed her human face to the goodman from the water. And she cried out to him, "Farewell, goodman of Wasness. You were good to me, but my heart lies with my husband of the sea." And then her face disappeared back into its seal form before the two Selkies vanished completely. And many people after saw the goodman wandering the empty beaches around his home as he got older and frailer and time passed, hoping beyond hope to see the only woman that he ever loved. But he never looked upon her face again. What do you think?
Very nice. Very familiar.
Right? So a lot of people, if you grew up in Scotland, you probably heard a version of this. I don't want to say like child-friendly version, because it's not a bad story, but generally if this is told to children, then it talks about how their mother returned once a year, like she could come back on the shore a year to visit her children and be with her children as they grew up.
Very nice. Pirates of the Caribbean style.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit like that. But in most of the traditional folk tales, once the Selkie has the chance to leave, they're gone.
Mm.
They don't come back.
The real like fairy tales are always a lot more brutal though, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. So that's a pretty typical Selkie story. That's why it's so familiar. It crops up over and over again that a man steals the Selkie skin and effectively steals the Selkie wife, but they always return to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they are genuinely happy with the new life and they have children, the sea is always where they want to be, and they always return. And like I said, like in some versions, the Selkie wives return to visit their kids. There's other versions where children are playing on the beach and they see a big seal just watching them, and they know that that's their mother come to see if they're okay and to like watch her children grow up. That's another version.
That's nice.
Yeah, so that's the longest of the stories that I have to tell you. I wanted at least one that went into a bit of depth and really felt like a proper story.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was just going to have loads of them, this would be hours long.
What's next?
So, another story that I found that I really enjoyed, but can't have the whole thing in this, is called The Great Selkie O'Skills Scary. And this one centres on a Selkie man rather than a Selkie woman, so it's a little bit different. But this is written as a really lovely ballad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's in verse, but I'm not going to recite verse and tell you the whole thing. It would take too long, but definitely have a link to this in the show notes, because it's lovely to read as a poem. And if you can find a YouTube version or something, verse and poem should always be heard, I think. Mm-hmm. I love listening to poetry more than I love reading it.
What was it called again?
The Great Selkie of Skull Skerry.
Of Skull Skerry.
Yes. S-U-L-E-S-K-E-R-R-Y.
I was just about to ask for the people listening if they want to look it up.
You can look it up, but I will link to where I found the ballad in the show notes. So there'll be a link on the website.
Mm-hmm. Generallyspooky.com.
Yes, generallyspooky.com for all of your show note needs. So in this story, a young Orcadian woman, so again in Orkney, meets a Selkie man on the shore. And he's very handsome, very caring, affectionate, and she falls in love with him almost immediately, and he with her. And eventually, the woman falls pregnant.
Oh my god.
And the Selkie man is the father. She's still in love with him, but now she's all alone because the Selkies can't stay on land.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So she now has to raise a child, and she has a son. And he's beautiful. He's a beautiful child, just like the father was. And several years pass, and while she's walking on the shore, the woman sees a large grey seal in the shallow water.
Hmm.
And she starts walking towards it. She can see it out there, barely daring to hope that it could be her lover. But as she gets close, the seal speaks and says, "I'm a man upon the land. I'm a Selkie in the sea. And when I'm far frae every stand, my dwelling's in Skull Skerry."
Hmm.
So her heart's full of joy. Her heart's full of joy. It's the Selkie. But he disappears into the water. He can't come to shore. I think in this version, he can only come to shore every like 7 years.
Mm.
So he's there. He's in the water, but he can't be with her.
Mm-hmm.
7 years later. This is the definitely the abridged version. The ballad is so much better. But 7 years later, the Selkie returns to land, and this time the woman and her son are on the shore. So he's grown up.
Mm-hmm.
He's been born, he's grown up. He's a boy now, not a baby. And her son and his father finally get to meet. He's never met his dad. And the Selkie man gives his son a beautiful gold chain, which he places around his son's neck. It's gorgeous. But after meeting each other and talking, pardon me, the son decides that he wants to join his father in the ocean.
Oh.
He doesn't want to stay on the land. He wants to be with his dad in seal form. So the woman and her son say goodbye because they don't know when they'll see each other again. And he transforms with his father and they both disappear from sight completely. So the woman's all alone with no idea if she'll see her lover or her son again. So eventually she ends up getting married to someone else. And she gets married to a fisherman. He comes home to her after a long trip and he's excited. He has a present for her. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out the most beautiful gold chain. And he hasn't noticed his wife's expression as he explains how he found two seals while he was fishing and he shot them both. One older, one younger. And he pulled them onto his boat and found the gold chain just sitting around the neck of the younger seal. What luck! And the woman collapses as she realises that both her son and the only man she ever loved are both dead. And that's the end of the ballad.
Aww.
Sad story.
That is sad.
Heartbreak. Definitely, this is definitely the achy breaky heart episode this week.
I'm gonna edit this bit out.
Don't you dare. So yeah, it's very sad, but it's beautiful in its own way. Yeah. I would definitely recommend reading the actual ballad. But I thought that was interesting because it's about a Selkie man.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to include at least one story about that.
Well, when you said that they both disappeared and she was all alone and all sad, I was thinking, oh, well, she needs a Selkie from a different version who'll come and comfort her when she's feeling all sad.
It's like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. You just pick from whatever you want. Or mash them all together.
The Spider-Man multiverse. Ooh, she needs
yeah.
a Selkie from one of the different multiverses.
So there's two other stories I came across, and these stories I all found, I found all on a site called Orkney Jar.
Hmm.
And it's a, it was a great resource. If you're interested in this kind of thing, especially if you're in Orkney, you want to know more, definitely check them out, because it was so useful for this episode. I mean, I'll have them linked in the show notes, but just I feel like they should be mentioned in the episode because they're fab. But these stories, they were quite similar to each other, so I just picked one that I would tell you, rather than telling you two that are similar.
That's fair.
And once I've told you this, we can get into whether there's any truth to Selkie stories, where they came from, why they happened, all that good stuff.
I have one thought, so I will save it.
You going to save it, or do you want to tell me now?
No, I'll save it.
Okay. I don't want you to feel like you can't speak.
I have to raise my hand. Then you make full eye contact with me and just look away again.
You have to raise your hand, which is difficult because it's dark in here. I can't actually see you. Joys of living in the Highlands. It's 20 past 10 at night and it is still pretty much full daylight outside.
Yeah, it's just day out there.
It's so nice.
It is nice.
I love it. Okay. So this story isn't a romance like the others. This one comes from the Isle of Sandy, about a man called Willie. Willie Westness of Over the Water. If you're from Orkney and I'm butchering the names, I'm so, so sorry, because I hate when people butcher Scottish names, and now I'm probably doing it. I'm really sorry. I will take all the constructive criticism. That's fine. I won't get mad, because I don't like it either.
Did we pronounce twat right?
Let me tell the story. Anyway, Willie was digging up lugworms to use as bait for fishing. He had been keeping an eye on the tide because he was digging on the beach, and he needed to make sure he could get safely home. So the tide would come in and effectively flood his path back to where he lived. His pail was full of lugworms, and he could see that there was still time for him to make it back to shore. Like, the tide hadn't come all the way in, and he didn't want to waste the time that he had on this little inlet, this little bit of island. So he decided to take advantage of the time he had to search for some driftwood that he could take home with him. But as he was crouching down, he heard this terrible, terrible moaning sound. And it sounded like a woman was somewhere nearby, and she was in horrific pain. So Willie got up and began to search, because he wanted to try and help. There was moaning and sobbing, and it sounded really, really bad. So he knew that this person needed help, wherever they were. So he walks along the shore, and he finds a big seal lying in a little bay. And there's another big seal in the sea, not too far from the shore. And this second seal is watching him very, very closely. Beside the seal on the beach is a tiny newborn seal pup. I love seal pups. They're so cute.
It's another dog-like thing about seals, that they have pups.
Oh yeah, yeah, the name. True. So this seal had just given birth to this very cute, very adorable pup. But unfortunately, Willie felt the same way that I do about cute little seal pups. He saw this pup and thought that it would make the perfect pet for his son.
Oh no.
And the seal pup got even cuter when it made its way over to Willie and lay down on his feet, the way that Odin does. And it was practically irresistible. So he picks up the seal pup and says, "Yep, you're going to be perfect. I'll take you home with me." He turns around and he starts heading for home. But behind him, he hears this really loud crashing and splashing. And he turns around and he sees the mother seal in a lot of very apparent distress. And he met her eyes, and he couldn't tell if he was imagining it, but they seemed to be full of tears. They were huge, round, big brown, sad eyes, almost human. And then the pup looked up at him from his arms with exactly the same expression. And he could feel his tough exterior beginning to crack, and he was feeling really bad. So he sighed loudly and he shouts, "Oh, take the bairn, be gone with you." and he puts the pup close to the water's edge and walks off.
Mm-hmm.
He grabs his pail of lugworm and his driftwood, and he watches as the seal and the pup return to the water. 9 years pass. Willie now has 4 children of his own.
Hmm.
He's added 3 more to the brood. 4 kids. His 3 youngest children decided to go wading for cockles. And if you're not in Scotland or somewhere, how would you describe a cockle?
I can't remember. Is that the bogies with crash helmets? That's how they are when you eat them.
I'm not even going to look it up. No more explanation. Don't say anything else. Just leave it at that. Anything else will spoil it. So they've gone wading for cockles. And they've decided to go to the sandy bay where their father usually gathered bait. Now, they knew that they weren't really supposed to be there. They'd been warned not to go because the tide can come in really quickly and then you're completely stranded. The whole bay gets covered in water, so you'll drown.
Mm.
And they wouldn't be able to get home again. But the children knew that this is where the cockles were best, so they decided between the 3 of them, we won't stay too long. We'll grab a few of the big ones and we'll go straight home. We won't be there long enough to get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
But once they got started picking all the cockles and seeing how big they were and how good they were going to be, you know, they were more than they imagined would be there. So they kept gathering and kept gathering. Pardon me. Eventually, they had as many as they could physically carry. They had a huge, big bucket of these cockles. And they turned for home, but realised that the path was completely blocked, covered in water. They were completely stranded. And the children started to panic. So they decided to make a run for it before the water got too high. And the 2 older children are pulling along their youngest brother. But his little legs can't move fast enough over the rocks for how fast they need to go. And the tide was coming in too quickly for them. So now they were out in the middle of all this, completely stuck. And the water starts creeping over their ankles and up their legs. And the youngest children start crying. The eldest began to shout as loud as he could towards land, hoping that someone would hear that they were in trouble. But nobody came. And the water keeps rising. But then they started to hear a really soft singing, which sounded really close, but there was no one around them. There was only the rocks and the water. But the singing carried on. If anything, it just got closer. And the oldest child is looking around trying to see where the noise is coming from. And he gets a surprise when he sees 2 people standing right beside them. 2 women, both wearing grey cloaks.
No.
And the older of the 2 of them speaks and says, "Come away, bairns, it'll soon be too late." And the older woman takes the hands of the 2 younger children. And their brother watched with the other woman as the siblings were led straight into the water, which was still rising. And now it was reaching their necks. They were in big trouble. But the older woman kept a tight hold of both their hands and was leading them back towards the shore as if everything was fine, nothing was wrong, completely calm. And eventually, she walked them back to safety. And it was only then, as the oldest child was walking with the younger woman, that he noticed that she had been carrying their big, heavy bucket of cockles on her head. So she put them down and she returns it to them with a smile. "All's well," says the older woman. "But take your father a word from me. Tell him to mind a day when he dug lugworm 9 summers gone, and say to him, 1 spared to the sea is 3 spared to the land."
Hmm.
And the children stared at her, not knowing what to say or what to do. They didn't really understand. So she gives them a little push towards home and says, "Run away home. And don't come this way again. I came for once only." So they ran. They didn't turn until the beach was nearly completely out of sight. But when they did, there were no grey-cloaked women. Only 2 seals swimming away from the shore.
That's nice.
What do you think of that one?
That's a nice story.
I like that one too. Mm-hmm. I thought it was sweet. I think it embodies a lot of why people generally like Selkies, and I think it's why the legends have lasted so long.
Mm.
that kind of kind nature.
Yeah. And, I don't know, I mean, if you've seen the seals, you're like, yeah, that could totally be true.
Mm-hmm. They just, that's why I want to know what you thought of seals.
They're just hanging right
at the top.
Having a good time.
Yeah.
On that, when I was wee in Ullapool, we'd be playing down on the beach. And if you keep going around the beach, you get to these little coves that you can't get to at high tide. And we'd play in there until the tide came in and we'd go, oh shit, we need to get right back right now.
Right, see, like, I feel like a lot of people will wonder how that could even happen. But it's so easily done.
It happens. We did it once and then I had to climb up this big sketchy cliff to get home.
Oh my god.
She just gone through the water and got wet, but...
Your mum's going to love that. She listens to this. She's not going to enjoy that.
Yeah, it was fine. I'm still here.
Got better.
I got better. And those same cliffs, when I was older, we'd jump off them into the water. But only at high tide, otherwise there's no water there. You just jump onto the beach.
That sounds super safe. Not at all sketchy.
From like 20 feet up. It was fun. It was good.
If you're listening to that, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
It was about it. We were trained.
Yeah, don't. No, you weren't. That is a lie.
That is a lie.
You're not allowed to lie on the podcast.
What? Oh no. My whole facade.
You're not allowed to lie. Well, yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Well, there's that of getting... I never got fully stuck in these little coves, but you...
it does happen.
You could. It happens fast as well.
Yeah.
Faster than you'd expect.
If you just get caught at the wrong time.
And then when I was swimming with the seals, obviously I did that out on the island. I was just swimming about. Most of them were on the rock. There were a couple in the water, wondering what on earth was happening. But at one point, I was... Maybe I jumped in or something. I looked up and there's a wee baby seal on one side, like a good distance away. And then I looked like 180 degrees the other way. And then there's another seal staring at me. I was like, oh no, this is not where I want to be. But then it disappeared. And then it popped up beside the baby seal and the two of them disappeared again. That was quite fun. But they didn't, you know, there's not many animals you could get between it and its young. And they're like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, for them to just be like, I'll just go round you.
Yeah, I'll go under. You're just bobbing about there. Because I was in a wetsuit, so it was quite buoyant.
It's something that I have to talk about just a little bit later, but it's one of the reasons that's put forward for Selkie legends existing, is that people see seals and the way they behave, the way that they look, and there's just something human about them.
Mm.
There's like a human quality that you can't quite put your finger on.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair.
I don't know if it's like the expression that they're able to pull, or, mm-hmm. or I don't know, but... There's just something. It's like what you were saying, that you could well believe that if a seal could do that, if they could help you, they probably would.
Yeah, I think so. They're like, oh, you okay? Just give you a hand. Except when they're stealing your fish.
Are you going to explain this fish theft, or are you just going
to... Well, yeah, I used to fish off the pier for mackerel. And if you caught one, you'd have to wind it in as fast as humanly possible, because the seal would come and steal them off your hooks. So you'd have to, like, rapidly wind it in. There was a few times, like... going, you'd see the fish on the like the six hooks winding towards you, and then you'd see the seal behind, like swimming after all your fish, so you'd have to try and like weak them out of the water so the seal didn't get them. Partly because you didn't want the seal to get hooks stuck in it.
Yeah, that's very true. That's one of the sad things about Sammy. I think Sammy has a lot of hooks.
Yeah, just
in and around him,
the like the feathers where it's like the six hooks.
Yeah,
he's still going though.
But is he though, or is it a different seal? I don't know how old seals can live.
Oh, you don't question it. It's just Sammy.
Okay. Well, after all of that, all of those lovely stories that I hope didn't bore you too much, you might be wondering where these stories come from and why they exist at all. Because I did, after I read them. Because I just have this thing where I have to know. So the story's all well and good,
but why?
Why do people tell this? I have to know.
But why though?
Why?
Well, my thought on this, to interrupt you again.
No, it's not interrupting me. I said I was kind of hoping this would be more of a chat, since I think you're more open to like opinion in this case, rather than something that either happened or didn't.
An evening with Kieran Neely. I'm pretty sure baby seals are quite furry.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering, do they shed
They do. That's their, like, baby coat.
Yeah, because they're all, like, fluffy things when they're babies to keep them warm. So does that, well, not quite like a snake, but do they shed that into a single piece?
No, I don't think so. I think their coat gradually changes. Because you get it with birds. Like, tiny little birds have that really fluffy feather, and then as they get older, they develop the feathers that they can actually fly with.
That makes sense.
You get it with quite... Well, Odin had it. Remember what his puppy coat was like?
Yeah.
It was a lot softer and...
velvety.
He was so cute. But, you know, he was fluffier. Whereas he still has a long coat, but it's a completely different quality.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a similar thing with seals. I think they might shed it, or it might change gradually. I don't think they actually shed the skin.
I wondered and figured that'd probably be the case, but I was curious if that's where the seal skin came from.
No, I don't think so. I think... it changes over time.
Mm-hmm.
They don't shed like a snake.
Oh, I remember another seal story.
Do tell.
My dad was a fisherman for a long time.
John, you're getting a lot of mentions in this episode. I might have to credit you in the show notes.
If we ever make any money from doing this, you can have some.
Then we will take you out for dinner.
Yep, maybe. Yeah, because I was asking Dad if, like, seals ever attacked anybody. And he was like, no, definitely not. Not seals. He's like, but, oh, they poked someone in the bum once. What? And I may be misremembering this, but it's definitely the gist. The boats would come in, they fished for prawns. But then again, they catch fish as well, just kind of as a byproduct. So then again, they throw them in and feed the seals. And, like, because they'd be tourists, they make a bit of a spectacle. So they'd, like, hold it over kind of at SeaWorld, but more wild. So the seal would...
Ullapool's a huge, like, tourist town.
Yeah. And the seal would jump out and grab it. Might be making up that part, can't remember. But one time, they were there and they're waiting. And I think Dad was shelling them. And the other guy was just sat on the edge of the boat. And the seal got impatient, so it jumped out and jabbed the guy in the butt. They're like, hey, you're supposed to be feeding me.
Oh.
The guy shat himself.
Well, you know what's weird is that's a lot like Odin.
Yeah.
If he's impatient about something, he'll come and nudge you.
Yeah, just like nudge you with his nose, like, come on, come on.
So that's funny.
Yeah, so that was it. There was no aggression, no... Well, maybe it was aggressive. Maybe it was an aggressive poke.
I don't know. I feel like if an animal is going to be aggressive with you, you know about it.
Yeah,
it have its there's no...
mouth open.
Yeah, well, there's no maybe it was aggressive. Like, I think you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
See, there you go.
Well, I looked a bit into where these stories seem to come from and the history and different people's theories on why these stories exist. And I've said it a couple of times, a lot of the stories come from the Orkney Islands,
mm-hmm.
so way up north. But, you know, they come from the Shetland Islands as well, down the west coast of Scotland, lots of selfie stories. I think in The Eagle of the Ninth... You know that movie with Channing Tatum?
Mm-hmm.
They filmed, if you don't know, they filmed that on the west coast, in and around Ullapool and several other towns where we live when we were in school. And I think there's a seal tribe of people, because a lot of the extras that they took from the community, and there were people who were cast as the seal people, but they were this tribe of people who painted themselves grey like... seals.
Oh, interesting.
Do you remember?
I've not seen the film.
I'm sure there's the seal people.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, you know, some of the legends come from down the west coast, Ireland, but you find there's a lot of overlaps with Scottish and Irish folklore and things. They're not the same, but there are overlaps. So there are some Selkie stories from Ireland, the Faroe Islands.
Oh yeah, they're even further north than Shetland.
Yeah, and some Scandinavian countries like Iceland and Sweden, they have stories about Selkies too.
I was just wondering about Scandinavia.
But they're different everywhere, so they have different names and things. But, you know, there's an area that they all seem to come from.
Not England?
No, not really.
Interesting.
It seems like... I saw one article which described it quite well, and it was saying that there seems to be some kind of like Celtic connection between a lot of them, but if you look at ancient like travel routes, Norse ships came to all of those places,
yeah,
like down the west coast. So it could be that it started as a Norse story and mm-hmm. it got passed that way. But not really in England. It's not really an English thing.
Yeah.
As far as I could tell, I'm perfectly happy to be wrong. But there's also a lot of seal stories with a kind of mythical, I don't want to say mythical twist because it's not the same, but there's a lot of seal stories in Inuit tradition and some Native American tribes or Indigenous Canadians. They have stories about seals as part of their culture and their traditions. So it's widespread, but it seems to have this link with like certain parts of the world. So like the Arctic, the people who live in the Arctic, who could move around that way. They all kind of share similar stories.
That's interesting. I wonder where, how far south you get seals. I'm not sure.
Well, I mean, there's all different species, remember?
Well, that's true, yeah.
That we're thinking of grey seals,
mm-hmm.
but you have all types.
Yeah.
You're like in California, you have sea lions.
Well, yeah, I suppose they're a seal variant.
Just a different type of creature, mm-hmm. but similar family. The Selkie stories also fit something that's called the Swan Maiden trope format story, which is very similar, but swans. And these stories usually involve transforming with some kind of swan feather cape. It's usually a woman. And these stories, you can find them in Japan, and they predate any Western stories.
Oh, interesting.
So there's that too, which I thought was interesting.
I suppose that's... They'll predate them with the written records.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of Scottish and Gaelic stories, which aren't always the same. I'm putting on my nerd brain here, but Scotland was distinct areas of people. So in Gaelic tradition, all stories were just told orally. You didn't write stuff down. So yeah, that's probably one of the reasons. But it's interesting that these things... exist completely independently of each other, but they're so similar, I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
What's also interesting is that a lot of the places where Selkie stories have come from and have been found are communities and places that are dependent on the sea for survival. So fishing communities, or just groups of people that are dependent on the sea, which... You know, when you look at places like Orkney and Shetland, you're really at the mercy of the ocean out there. Like, they're not big places. So the communities that were there, to a point now, but a long time ago, you're really dependent on understanding the sea and knowing how to live on it, but also survive. So yeah, it makes sense to me that as people came into contact with seals, as part of these communities, like we said, they see the way they behave, the way they look. And they see that they have what seems to be a kind nature, something that's almost human. It makes sense in my mind that you would make that jump to telling these stories about these seals.
I think so. Because I grew up in a fishing village, not dependent on it and far more connected to the world.
Well, I mean, if you just go back a couple of generations.
Yeah, but like me specifically. Yeah. And then I've had an awful lot of interaction with and around seals.
Yeah, I think it's not unreasonable. I also read in another article, and I think the author was a man called Duncan Williamson, but he made the good point that the kind nature of Selkies and their existence brings a lot of comfort to people.
Yeah.
Possibly to people who've lost loved ones at sea, because if you were part of a fishing community, or even if you are, there's a good chance that you've lost a loved one at sea. Like my mum has, my granny's family, both my grannies, were islanders, and they've both lost members of their family at sea. It's kind of, certainly years ago, it was an unfortunate inevitability, like it would happen. But it's nicer to believe that not only are the Selkies real, but your loved one might have joined them or might have become one. It's a much more comforting thought than just losing someone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
There was also another part of this theory where people said that if a woman was lost at sea specifically, then it was her Selkie man, her lover, taking her home to be with him as a Selkie.
That's much more comforting, isn't it?
It is, it is. And I think that's the source of a lot of folklore and stories. It's bringing comfort where there are no answers.
Mm-hmm.
But like ghosts, I think that's why theories about ghosts exist.
Yeah.
Far more comforting for some people to believe that they exist than for there just to be nothing.
Yeah.
I know that's not the case for everybody, but you know, for some people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so interesting to look at the origins of myths and legends like this and seeing how like they're all so tied up in how normal people live normal lives. It doesn't have to be extraordinary and epic. It's just people trying to understand the life that they're living. I think that's far more interesting.
I quite agree.
Anything you want to say? I feel like I'm talking a lot.
No, I think I've told you all my seal-related anecdotes.
Well, it doesn't need to be an anecdote. You could just tell me what you think.
Fine.
Okay.
I had a surprisingly large number of seal-related anecdotes. I didn't think
I know.
Except I didn't think of any beforehand. I'm like, yeah, apparently I have quite a lot to say about seals.
It's like your mastermind topic.
That I didn't get to know beforehand.
No, you just have to pull out of nowhere. There was another interesting article. I feel like I've said interesting and article a lot. So we may have to edit some of it out, I don't know. But it pointed out how the stories of Selkie women mirrored the lives of women in the communities that they were told in.
Mm.
So if you think about it...
Sexually unsatisfied.
No, that was human women. And has been for a very long time. But the Selkie women get taken out of their home and their surroundings that are familiar and forced into a marriage that they didn't ask for and are then just expected to make the best of it,
mm.
which is something that's happened to women a lot and still happens in some places. So it's interesting that it mirrors society in that way.
Mm. Yeah.
And then there's all the stories of Selkie men, but they're interesting themselves because they don't fit the stereotypical male or male mythical creature mm-hmm. stereotype, because the stories about Selkie men, they're generally caring,
yeah.
loving, and have a sense of family responsibility. Like they're
more the ideal man.
Yeah, they care for their family and like they're responsive to female desire, and mm-hmm. that's not something that happens a lot in older stories.
No.
But all of this is assuming that Selkies aren't real.
Do you have some evidence?
An intriguing thought.
That is an intriguing thought.
Well, I couldn't say I have evidence, because I don't think I do. But I struggled with this week's episode because I couldn't back it up with anything. So I was trying to just find something I could cling to.
Find some meat.
That was a factual thing to do with Selkies. I had to do it.
Is this where you tell me you're a Selkie?
No comment. So in the 17th century, there was a pretty high number of Selkie sightings in Orkney. Lots of people were saying they'd seen them. And one thing I didn't say earlier, in Orkney, Selkies weren't always seen as being pleasant creatures. They kind of got, I don't want to say they got muddled, because that sounds like, you know, just happened by accident. But Selkies were kind of put together with this creature called like Finn men.
Mm.
And like they were scary, like they would terrorize people and they were scary things to encounter. So in Orkney, they weren't always seen as nice creatures, basically. So there was this spate of sightings where everyone was seeing Selkies. But from my research, at this time, people who lived in like the Arctic Circle, remembering that there was more ice, so the ice came further down. But people who lived in the Arctic Circle in colder climates were building these boats that were made out of deer sinew and skin.
Oh.
And they used willow, so there was no nails, there was no, I don't want to say no structure, because that makes it sound like, because that's not what I mean, it wasn't built how people in Orkney were building boats.
Mm-hmm.
It was sinew, it was willow, nothing nailed together. These boats didn't have sails. They were more like kayaks.
Mm-hmm.
And because they were made so light and sort of small and efficient, they sat quite low in the water. So if someone were to sit in one of these boats, then they would be sitting inside this skin, this tail, with the top half of their body out of the water and moving through the water really quickly because these boats could move. They were fast because they weighed nothing. They didn't
weigh anything, yeah.
And people who lived in places like Lapland or the Arctic wore clothes that were made of seal skin.
Oh.
So, you know.
I mean, we're barreling towards a misunderstanding here.
Even further, these boats, because they were made of like skin, sinew, they weren't exactly watertight. It's not like water poured in, but eventually they would absorb the water and they would get soaked through.
Seep in.
Yeah, if they were in the water too long, and they would sort of lose their integrity. So they had to be dried out flat on the shore when you pulled up somewhere. So if you're looking at one of these boats and you don't know what it is, and it's a skin, and you've seen, you know, you might see this person who has taken off all of their sealskin clothes because they've also gotten wet, and they're like, you know, like, it's a theory that the people in Orkney were seeing people from Lapland or the Arctic in these boats because they were sailing sort of further south for fish and mistook them for Selkie creatures.
I like that.
But some people go even further than this skin kayak theory. Some people claim to be descended from Selkies and are very, very proud of the fact. So there's families in Scotland, there's families in Ireland that claim to have Selkie heritage. And there's one family in particular who lived, maybe still live, but lived in North Uist. And their family was called the MacOdrims of the Seals.
Oh.
And they were given this name because it was understood by everyone and them that they were descended from Selkies. And they were really proud of it and they believed it.
Interesting.
So they had claimed this identity for themselves.
Huh. That's really weird. It seems familiar, not to do it with seals, but for clans to claim who they were descended from. Well, it's quite like Greek and Roman, descended from the gods. It's kind of like that.
A little bit, yeah. I thought it was quite bizarre.
Yeah.
But there's also something kind of nice about them being like, yeah, this is us. You know?
Yeah. I think Uist is quite remote, even on Shetland, I think. Or is Uist on the...
Uist isn't in Shetland.
Oh, we can edit that out.
Hold on. Uist is in the Outer Hebrides.
Oh, never mind. Don't know what I was thinking of.
Uist is a collective name commonly used for the islands that make up Uist. So North Uist is its own island.
Yeah, interesting.
But we also had the thing where I think there's Uist on Skye.
Oh, yeah, we did this, didn't we?
Someone's even explained this to me, and I can't explain it here.
Forgotten. So.
Anyway. Remember Denison, the folklorist that I told you about?
Yes.
In Orkney? Well.
Mm-hmm.
He published an account in the 19th century. That was supposedly the very, very true story of a woman who, I think she was given the pseudonym Ursula. Don't think that was really her name. But she claimed, and others claimed, that her children had a Selkie father.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. She supposedly had to trim their webbed hands and feet, which was a result of having a Selkie parent.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So webbed toes, I looked into all of this. Webbed toes are a thing that can happen without having a Selkie for a dad. It can happen. It's a thing. I can't pronounce the name. And there are also medical conditions that exist that I can't pronounce that can cause your face to have a similar look to a seal.
Ooh.
And you can develop scaly skin as part of a genetic disorder.
Ooh.
They're all difficult to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll type them somewhere. So, you know, maybe they did have Selkie parents or they had genuine medical conditions.
Maybe.
That gave them webbed hands and webbed feet.
Mm. Or maybe her man turned up, had her and left her.
Oh, God. What do you think? Real or not real? Selkies on the whole.
I think not real.
Not real.
But a nice story.
Nice story.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I'm the same. I think the stories are valuable just as stories. Yeah. In my opinion.
I think so.
But I wouldn't want to offend anybody who thinks they are real. I would love it if they were real, because I love seals.
Yeah. And you know, there's nice morals to the stories. Make sure your woman is satisfied before you go off to sea.
Lessons you can take to the bank.
Yep. Don't trust men you find on the beach, no matter how attractive they are.
No. Just be a good person.
Yeah.
Don't force people to marry you, yep, Kieran.
But you fell in love with me, so it's fine.
Oh, that makes it all okay.
Yeah. Eventually they loved each other a bit.
Kinda.
They grew fond of each other's company.
Well, those are the stories of the Selkies.
I rate this 17 flippers.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be 17 because it's not the coffins if it's flippers.
Oh, two, I suppose.
Two flippers.
Two flippers.
Two flippers that you can clap.
Yeah. Oh, with the wailing. Because there was, in that first story you told...
wailing? We haven't talked about wailing.
Oh, W-A-I.
Oh, I thought you meant
moaning,
like...
wailing.
Wailing?
Yeah. No. Yeah, it came up multiple stories.
Wrong activity.
I don't know what sound seals make.
It's kind of... Well, it's funny me saying this, but it's kind of like a bark, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
I won't do an impression.
No.
I was trying to think if they would moan or scream or...
Maybe they do. We've talked about it before, that I remember going wild camping with my stepdad and my younger sister, and we were camping in the middle of a loch on an island. And it was during the summer, and the stags were rutting, and they make this incredible roar. And that's the only word you can describe it as. Mm-hmm. It's just this roar. And I remember just lying there and you're hearing it echo around all the sides of the loch and over the water. And it was scary. And it didn't sound like a creature that could really exist until, you know, Mark explained it. So yeah, that's stags that do that. You don't have to be scared.
And sounds quite unbelievable. I've never heard it in real life, but we've looked it up before.
It's bizarre. So maybe this is a similar thing. Maybe a seal would make a noise that you would never imagine a seal would make.
Mm.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Also, I took full advantage and scared my sister shitless when we experienced this, and I have no regrets. It was very funny.
No regrets.
My sister's 7 years younger than me, so I had a great time.
7 years? That was 9 years, never mind.
What?
Your mum could have been a selfie. Coming back to land every 7 years.
I don't think Mum likes the water.
Fair enough. Quite a lot of her relatives drowned in it.
Don't think she likes like open water. I don't think she's scared, but I don't think she's keen.
Pass.
I can't imagine her being a Selkie.
Hmm.
Maybe your dad's a Selkie. Maybe he never had a boat. Maybe he just went to sea.
Well, that's who got the fish.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you liked all the stories. This was a little change of pace this week.
I liked it. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And we hope you liked it too.
Yes. Hope you had a good time.
And we will be back next week.
I know. Actually, next week. Not pre-recorded. Next week.
No. With luck, you'll be listening to this on Friday. If I get my shit together and edit it in time.
Please. I really hope that you're listening. Or that you're at least able to listen to this on the Friday it comes out.
Yeah.
You could be listening to it after, and that's fine, but...
Yeah. Be fine.
You say that about everything.
I've yet to be wrong.
That's not true.
It's if you believe it. Everything's fine right now, therefore, it's fine.
Well, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
We really appreciate it. Everyone who listens and leaves any kind of comment... It really means a lot. And we see all of them. We really do.
Mm-hmm.
Like we said last time, we are going to have, from what we understand at the moment, it's going to be 10 episodes per season. So this is episode 8. only a couple episodes to go. So if you're interested in keeping up with us and finding out when season 2 is coming out, because it is coming out, then follow us on Instagram at Generally Spooky. That's where we'll keep you up to date. And we also have a Facebook page if you are a Facebooker, which is just Generally Spooky.
Yep.
But those are the best places to keep up with the podcast and know what's going on and know when we're coming back. Because we've had so much fun this season, we are definitely coming back.
We are. And Sam Hewen, if you're listening, if you're enjoying it, we are open for sponsors for season 2.
He's far too... They just wrapped season 6 of Outlander.
That means he's got some free time.
No, that means he's been way too busy for our bullshit.
And he might be James Bond. So
I really hope he's James... We're getting on a tangent now. I really hope he's James Bond. I would love him as James Bond.
Yeah. He'll definitely be looking to sponsor our small podcast.
I don't think he will be. I really don't.
He'll listen. He'll listen.
I don't... I think you're setting yourself up for disappointment. Frankly,
a limited time frame, then it's fine.
Even then, I don't see it happening. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
I would love it. I would love it more than anyone.
Mm.
But alas.
Alas. We should go.
We should.
Okay. Bye.